Welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish.
And I am Mike.
That's right. At this point, it's a duo. We were expecting Jack, but it's okay. It's no big deal. No big deal. You know, things come up. You got to do what you got to do. But yeah, there is a lot going on. Verlaine has the day off, but we got to get into a lot of things. And yeah, there's some stuff that I really want to talk about. Obviously, if you saw the videos that we played before the show started, I played the newest trailer for a Jedi Survivor and Toxic Crusaders, which is pretty cool. I'm actually kind of excited to talk about that just because, I guess you can call it a Ninja Turtles clone, right? Something like that. A little beat 'em up. Side scroller beat 'em up. I love it. I think we need more of those, but you know, maybe it's just me. So we'll get into that, but plus there are so much more that we have to get into. Yeah, dude, I have a bone to pick with Insomniac.
Oh,
and it has nothing to do with the video games.
Is that right?
Intrigue. What could this be about? Yeah, there's how much? Well, you don't answer right now, Mike. But the question I'm going to ask you later is how much have you spent on games before Nintendo shuts down the marketplace for 3DS and Wii U? Yeah, Wii U. I was like, what is that console? Yeah, so we'll get to that. But yeah, let's but first we got to do like we always do, and that's what we've been gaming this week. And Michael, I don't know why I called you by your full name, like I was yelling at you or something, but Michael,
I'm in trouble.
I know, right? Yeah. What have you been gaming this week, brother?
I have been playing a little more of Sonic Frontiers after giving it a little bit of a go last week. Decided to play more of it, and I think that it's a competent game at this point. I think I talked about this when we were discussing this on the show a few months ago about what they're trying to do with this game, and this feels like a Sonic game that like a fan would have made. And one of the things that sort of bugged me is the skill trees. I've talked about skill trees on the show before, and I don't think that I like them that much because I feel like it gives like this artificial feeling that you're getting better at the game when in reality, the game is kind of like a paywalling skills behind experience point bars. And they gave this to Sonic of all characters. What's Sonic's gimmick? He runs fast.
What else do you need?
Yeah. How hard is it to just kind of base a handful of skills that he already does just based around his speed? So he gets these like melee attacks that you can do where if you do a homing strike on any given enemy that has a great deal of armor, because in old Sonic games, you would just like do homing strike and you would just mash square or X over and over again until whatever it is.
Well, in the 3D Sonic games, not the old school side scroller we're talking, right? Because they didn't have that attack, right? Like that wasn't implemented until the 3D.
Yeah, like he had like a version of it with like one of the shield power ups. Like if you got, I think it was the electric shield power up in like Sonic 3.
Third one. Okay. Yep, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
So he does this ability in Sonic Frontiers, and you'll like hit a bad guy that has like more armor points than other enemies, and you would keep mashing it over for like a handful of melee strikes. So they then try and spin some of that Dark Souls stuff into it by these enemies being so heavily armored that you have to try to find a way to get around them. So after trying to like kick on them for like a few seconds, they'll swipe at you. You stop attacking, and then they gave Sonic a move from like Tails, Knights in the Dreams. Where if you kind of run in like a loop, it's called a psi loop, this would disarm a layer of armor from the enemies, and then you can just run and kick them again. It's an interesting idea. They've made this game more combat-centric than other Sonic games, but it still feels a league behind most open-world 3D platformers. It still feels a little leagues behind Mario Odyssey, which is a game I didn't really like that much. Like it was all right and it was cute. I like the implementation of Cappy. So there's that like relationship between Mario and the environment that he's in. In Sonic, they don't have that. And for whatever reason, and I remember you clowning this back in like one of those demo trailers, they're still just random loop-de-loops and bounce pads all over the place.
Like for no reason. They're just scattered. They're just scattered everywhere. Yeah. Like, why are they even there? I don't know.
And you want to look at, you know what the use for these are? The purpose for them is to send you back to an area that you that you were before so that you don't have to run all the way through the map to get to the like current checkpoint that you're at. So the purpose of these random bounce pads and these grinding rails is to get back to the place that you didn't want to go to. You're playing like Sonic the Hedgehog. Why is he like, why is he not fast enough to just get back there?
Sometimes there's an idea, right? Like sometimes there's this idea that like, oh yeah, we should totally do this, but then like when they try it, when it's actually like implemented like in a video game, it just seems like it falls short. I don't know.
It does, and it's a shame because it's not technically a bad game. It really isn't. It's just okay. Like I'll give it that. It's a well-made but very tepid game. I still like Sonic Lost Worlds more. It feels like a more put together
game. You posted a video that I'm kind of looking for. Of I was gonna try to grab it, but I don't know where the hell you put it. But you posted.
It's on my Twitter.
Oh, that's why. Okay. All right, I could do that.
It's like from a couple of days back where I hit a bounce pad, and Sonic's greatest enemy, the camera, sent me careening off the edge of the cliff.
Yes.
I didn't even touch the analog stick because when you hit a bounce pad, Sonic just goes in whatever direction that you go to. I did that, and I'm on the grinding rail for about like a half a second, and then I just go flying off into the ocean.
I guess that's what you're gonna run into with an open game like this, but I don't know, man.
It is.
Yeah.
I feel like the Sonic's just too. I feel like the camera's just pulled too close in on him to like blend that gotta go fast with like reflexes. Yeah. So
I found it because I was like, God, where did he put it? So let me get because I want to show this because this is actually a little disappointing to say the least.
I swear I'm trying my best with it too.
Yeah, well, no, I know it's not your fault. It's all good. Here, let's so we'll add that. Okay, there we go. Okay, so can we see this? You can see that, right? Can I make it bigger? That did make it bigger. Okay, cool. So yeah, here we go. And just to give you an idea,
now, I'm trying my absolute best here. I'm going okay. I'm just going to hit this pad and then fly up there, and yeah. He's got no weight behind
him. Sonic.
Whoa!
Let's look what that is.
He just has no weight behind him. That's the thing that Sonic fans will probably clown me for because I do make fun of Sonic, but I also like the character. So.
Sure, of course you do. Yeah. If you guys want to actually see that video, actually here I will. I'll tell you what. I will retweet it on. I don't know why I didn't retweet it, but on our Twitters, on the GameFix Twitter, so you can see it from there. And follow Mr. Colonel Fancy while you're at it.
Nice. And follow GameFix as well.
Well, hopefully they're already following us. That was the whole
idea. Yeah.
What's up? This is hilarious. Okay, tweet. There you go. Yeah, we're live tweeting now. Anyway. Okay, so what else? What else have you been playing?
Let's see. I also went back and played a little bit of DMC Devil May Cry, the reboot. I don't often do things like this, but I mostly bought it to kind of compare the original Xbox 360 version to the remastered version that I have.
I love Devil May Cry. So I love Devil May Cry, yet I haven't played the new one yet.
DMC 5?
Yeah, I haven't played that one yet. Then again, the last one I played kind of gave me a bad taste on it.
It's probably like, it was either the reboot or 4, which was...
It was just DMC.
Yeah, yeah, the reboot one, and boy, people got they tore into that one, and I don't know if it's a hot take. Nearly a decade later, I wish that was kind of the direction the franchise had gone in, like just theme wise, because I felt that the soundtrack from like Combi Christ complemented the DMC game more than the sort of like techno like Japanese rock.
The EDM, yeah, right.
Yeah, because I mean, nothing wrong with that KMFDM sound. I grew up loving that.
Oh, band. Absolutely.
I just kind of like that, like that sort of like European grunge metal. I think it fits more with.
Kein Mehrheit für die Mitglied, right? That's what.
Yes.
Which means no pity for the majority. But what do I know about KMFDM? I don't know.
Yeah, nice. You got through that without stumbling over it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So there you go. There's my background. I would say teenagers into 20s. That's probably my. And I've seen them live. I've seen KMFDM live.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, whatever.
Now I missed a chance to see them live because my mom thought they were Satan.
She's probably right. She's probably right. Okay, we digress. Anyway, what else? Anything else? Or at least give us your retro reboot. I almost forgot what it was called for a second there.
My retro reboot this week, which can be read on the Game Fix website. It generally gets posted between noon and 1 p.m. And this week, another special one. Tony Hawk's Underground.
Oh, right on. Okay.
The PS2, Xbox, and GameCube. A game I put a ton of hours into.
I
went back and was doing a little bit of research on this game, like I do, and I learned that this game allowed for like face mapping features. If you used a Nokia phone, used your camera phone and you sent it to the email, you could like texture map your face onto the character.
Kind of.
I mean, that clearly didn't work for like the GameCube version, but yeah. Like for the PS2 and the Xbox version, I believe that you could do that. And that's fascinating to think that like cell phone, like to think that camera phone technology is like 20 years old now.
Think
like,
about that. Yeah.
It's surreal.
Yeah. All right, well, that's cool. I'm looking forward to that. I definitely gave that game a few hours of my life, that's for sure. As far as me, I'm not going to get too in depth here. I can't speak today. I playing a lot of Grounded. What else is fucking new? Me and Jack have gotten like pretty far. We're to the point where we're trying to kill, and if anyone plays the game, you know what I'm talking about. We're trying to kill the assistant manager, and he's a piece of shit. I hate him so much. Oh god, I hate him so much. We've tried so many times to kill him and he just won't die. But you know, I think I'm gonna have to recruit you.
Oh.
So and Corrupted Cloud that's in the chat right now, he plays it. He's already taken out the assistant manager or as he calls him, the POS. So he says he could try to help again. That's cool. I'll make sure. And then Mike, if you jump in too, then we got the four going. So I think we'll have a better chance to take him out. Oh, he's so annoying. Oh,
I've watched like YouTube play of like his area. Is it like a giant mini maze that he's controlling that you have to like navigate through?
No, I mean, there's a lot of different mazes and shit that you have to kind of get through. Now that he, okay. So Real quick, just to kind of give you a little background about Grounded. There are so many fucking doors, okay, like in this game, and it's in the back of this yard, right? And these doors only open with the assistant manager card, okay? So that's where we're at. We're at the point where we just need this fucking card just to get to the next thing, but we just can't take him out. Although we have upgraded even more. I have better armor since then. So we're kind of like slowly getting to the point where, you know, we're upgrading pretty well. I would like a new bow and arrow. I'm working on it to get the right stuff to make it. But yeah, it's, That's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you for saying that. That's a good call. His name's Chris. He says, I think there's a mutator that lowers lightning damage. That is the biggest piece of, I hate it. Because like there's one part where these lasers come out and there's an easy way to avoid them. But then when the electricity comes out, it's like you almost can't avoid anything. It kind of sucks. So
it's like that damage per second shit where it just drains your health bar.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Yeah. So we're gonna beat it, and damn it, we're gonna beat it. And so one of these days. Although Chris, we have started to build a castle in the sky, as you did, but not where you did it. Don't worry about that. We finally got the mushroom bricks going, and we've remodeled our current castle, as I like to call it.
Nice.
But we're gonna make a fucking cathedral. I don't give a shit. It's gonna be huge. Yeah. It's gonna be awesome. Anyway, but that's what we've been playing. If you're in the chat, obviously let us know what you've been playing. If you're listening to the recorded version of this, you can, of course, hit us up right on our Twitter, as I said, as I posted live right there, or even in our Facebook. We'd love to know what you've been playing, because we kind of want to play the games you've been playing too, because we want to know, why are you playing them? I'll give it a go. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get to some stuff that's going on. We'll start with Nintendo. Okay. And you know, usually on this show, when we start with Nintendo, it's usually because we're just going to talk shit about Nintendo. I don't want to necessarily talk shit about Nintendo, but I will say that apparently Nintendo is telling you when to put the game down. They're the only video game company that has put an end date on a game, and that game is Animal Crossing New Horizons. Apparently in 38 years you won't be able to play the game anymore. Because the timeline that they have set in the video game is from January 1st, 2000, okay, through December 31st, 2060.
So they put an internal clock in the game.
Yes.
Now,
that's how people cheat in the game, though, too, because they'll reset their clock and everything. Yeah. But keep in mind, obviously, if you reset your clock, if you turn back time, you'll be able to play it 38 years from now. But if you leave it on the current date, you cannot play it after 38 years. I would be surprised if someone's still playing it after 38 years. But then again, there are people like, I don't know, you, Mike, who do play games that long. Yeah. You look around going that one and that one and that one.
That's fascinating to me. Not only because who knows where the tech for, I assume this is Animal Crossing New Horizons, the latest one.
Yeah. I said that. Yeah.
Okay. So, I wonder how many Nintendo Switches will be running, because I assume that by that point.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the console's infrastructure is going to be kind of kaput. I guess in their minds, they put a, because I understand probably with like some computer programming, and this is what led to like the speculation about what's going to happen with Y2K, is that you just kind of give an arbitrary number, for like the software on like how long its like internal clock would run. I think I heard something about that with like Majora's Mask as well, for like why the 7 days would like repeat itself. I'd have to go look that up to try and confirm it. That's interesting that a game will essentially decommission itself. There's something fascinating kind of about that.
Isn't it? Like, because like I thought about that and I was like, really? Like, they actually gave it an end date, but I mean, I guess, like, why wouldn't you just put a calendar in it and it would just be nonstop and it would just keep going? But right. Yeah, I don't know. Although I do have the message. This is the message that popped up of somebody on Reddit, of course, was the one that figured it out. And this is the message that popped up. Please close the game from home menu and restart after setting a date between these dates. one 2012 31 2016. There you go. Yeah.
All right. So all of the 110-year-olds will still be playing Animal Crossing, right? New Horizons.
Something I didn't expect, though. Like that is not, that's like something, I don't know. I guess it's not a big deal. I know. I always make a mountain out of a molehill, but you know me. So
you know what that makes me want to do? You remember the Seaman game for the Dreamcast? With the Leonard Nimoy as like the fish that you raise.
Yes. Why do I remember that? Go ahead.
So what I want to do, this is a project that I've kind of put aside for a while, and this Animal Crossing thing makes me want to try this. I want to install a new internal battery in my Dreamcast so that I can like actually set my calendar again, because mine died ages ago. So every time I turn the game on, I get that menu screen of like set your date and time. So yeah, sure. If you play Seaman, and I've seen people do this in like 2010 or 2011 or so, it's like the game almost kind of updates itself with its like with like what's happening with you. Not like it's giving you like real-time news or anything, but it's kind of like responding to the like dates that it sets itself in based on your console's internal clock and what you've been playing. So I kind of wonder if Animal Crossing does something similar with that based off of the game's internal clock or your Switch turns.
Yeah, I don't know.
So if there was an interface like that, I almost thought that there'd be something like that with like Hey You Pikachu, which kind of use like the same sort of functions. But it's interesting to think that that's like breakthrough technology in like 2001.
Totally. There. Well, it's just one of those things that you didn't think about back then. You know what I mean? And then you find it out, and it's like,
yeah,
it kind of transcends. It's kind of, I don't know. It's weird. Cool.
Video games with an expiration date, it's not really uncommon because games like Radical Heights is dead, Lawbreakers is dead, Friday the 13th is on hospice at this point.
Yeah.
It's just interesting that Nintendo will kill a game with a twist that only Nintendo can do.
Yeah, that's true. They'll put an end date on it. They're like, no, you can't play it anymore. All right, that's fair. Although what they have done is Nintendo says that it won't necessarily adopt the $70 for future titles after Zelda. What does that mean? They won't necessarily do it.
We'll hold it for some games.
Yeah, meaning that we reserve the right to do so, but not necessarily all the time. I think that's what they have with that. I don't know. Whatever. Make the game $70. Like what people don't get, and we've said it on the show so many different times, is like when I was a kid and I was buying, you know, Sega Genesis cartridges and shit, it was $80.
Yeah.
Some of them were 40, some of them were 50, but some of the games were 80, some of the games were 90. And it's just like, I don't know. But then again, kids nowadays, they don't remember that. But I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this, I'm telling you, that price point is not a big deal. I don't know. I won't be surprised by the time we die, it'll go up to 100, and then that'll be it. You know what I mean? Like that's fine. Yeah. If you like the game that much, then it's worth it because you're going to put that many hours in it. Think about it. You buy a movie, okay? Blu-ray movie with all the bells and whistles and everything costs what, $30?
Give or take, yeah.
$25 to $30, right? And you watch it once, maybe a year. You get a good game, and you're playing 60 hours. You're playing 80 hours. I'm sorry. I think that's way more worth it than buying a movie, you know, but like, that's just me though.
No, that's one of the reasons why video games are the number one form of entertainment. Jacking it up $10 more isn't really going to dissuade people from
jacking up $10. I'll still buy it. That's fine. But you see, that's coming from somebody that has a job and doesn't ask mom to buy something for, you know, or whatever. So I don't know. I don't get the outrage for it, but yeah, that's fine. Although they have confirmed that Tears of the Kingdom would retail at $69.99. So,
yeah. Saw that coming, and watch it break records. It's going to break records.
Of course it will. I mean, yeah, and that extra $10, people don't understand how far that will go.
Yeah, like you've got over 11 million Switches worldwide. Zelda's a console mover, so they're going to sell more platforms.
And does Nintendo charge for DLC? They usually don't, right?
For the Zelda games, I don't remember them charging DLC for. Yeah, wait, yeah. Yes, I think their DLC floated around like $14 for like Breath of the Wild like expansion pack that had.
Gotcha.
Link with like a motorcycle or something.
Oh, okay, well then my point really has no water. It doesn't hold any water.
Sometimes they'll do free updates, and not only that, Tears of the Kingdom is probably going to be relaunching on whatever the next Nintendo console is going to be.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I mean, if they're not going to come out with a new Mario game, but I need a new side-scrolling Mario game, and I'm not talking like Mario Construction or whatever it's called. I know what the game's called. But like, you know, just like a regular fucking old school. I know. I'm just
something like the new old Mario brand
game. Yelling at the clouds. That's what it's
like. Those are the most fun ones. Like, cause I was like talking about it with my wife like about a week or two ago. Like, what's your favorite Mario games? And the same ones generally come up: Mario World, Super Mario 3. Mm-hmm. She never played the Galaxy games. I think the Galaxy games were like interestingly developed, but they weren't ones that I went back to put in my Wii to play again. And aside from that. 3D Worlds on the Wii U was actually pretty cool, because that's the one that felt it felt a bit like a combination of a Mario 2, because the signature characters had their abilities from Mario 2. Like Luigi had that wacky jump, Princess could float again, and it also had that like 3D ISO view, and it's like one of the few games where co-op didn't lead to like multiple deaths. But it was fascinating that the side-scrolling Mario games, at least on the Wii U, like New Super Mario Brothers and New Super Luigi, they didn't sell that well. So I guess people have it in the idea, and it might have gotten in Nintendo's brain like worms, that 2D Mario games don't sell. But Mario Maker makes a ton of money. So like maybe work something with the engine and try to find some new ideas with a new 2D Mario game. Because other 2D games like Dead Cells and stuff and Metroid Dread are pretty interesting. So
I think Nintendo has shot themselves in the foot because they made Mario Maker, because now anyone could just make a Mario level, and we don't need anyone else to put out a game, because we can make something that's completely ridiculously like difficult or easy or whatever way you want to do it. So like now if you put out a new Mario game, it's almost like, well, we could have done better because we can. And I feel like they shot themselves in the foot for putting out a game like that. But, you know, just me.
Yeah.
It's Nintendo for you. They're like, you know what? Let's make them.
Hey, you want your Mario game? Do it yourself.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. Well, let's stick with the Nintendo real quick. You actually wrote an article that this is really interesting and ridiculous. On March 27th is when the Nintendo Wii U and 3DS eShops are decommissioned or closed or whatever you want to call it. And because of that, there's a YouTuber that makes way more money than any of us make had the money to buy every fucking game in the eShop. And, well, he spent, what, over $9,000 for the Wii U games and over $13,000 for the 3DS games. Is that, that's correct, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question for you, Mike, because I feel like you're the only one on the planet that even know the answer to this. Once they decommission the eShop, can you still download the games that you bought?
They say that if you've purchased them, yes, you can.
So then why not have them up for sale still?
I just think that Nintendo really wanted to put that Wii U era and the 3DS era behind them as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I think it's a dumb move. Because not only are you kind of callously cutting off that like small but spirited.
I wouldn't say callous. I mean, seriously, if I was like, man, I wish they would put out new Sega games, it's kind of stupid, right?
So the reason why I say callous is because they've shown that they could port this stuff over to the Switch Online service if they wanted to.
Sure.
And one of the things that I had Nintendo fanboys yelling at me probably since I joined social media is, don't worry, Virtual Console will be around forever. And I noticed that the second that they introduced the Switch Online service, Virtual Console was dead. They were never going to bring it back, probably due to like maybe licensing issue for some third-party games, which is what led to the death of like WiiWare games. WiiWare games never seen again. Could they contact Konami and ask for like Contra Rebirth or the Gradius games? They probably could, but they don't want to do that because they think that it's niche. So, Virtual Console, which always had like a neater interface than the Switch's eShop. The Switch's eShop feels like the Steam sales section just threw up all over the platform. I freaking hate navigating it. So. I don't mind the idea of like of closing down these storefronts, because the same thing's going to happen with the 360 and the PlayStation 3. It's just inevitable. It's it's eventually a waste of money to kind of keep those services open for tech that is that's approaching 15 years old now. And I know that fans yelled at Sony to like keep it open. They're not going to keep that open for that much longer. Especially now that they've like restructured their tiers. Game Pass will always let you port the games that you've already downloaded over to whatever the next Xbox console is. Nintendo, however, has had such an ass backwards way of like keeping the things that you purchased ported over to the next platform that it does kind of make the mind boggle a little bit. So you know what? In fairness, people have had a year to buy what they wanted off of the eShops for those platforms. So if you haven't bought anything at this point, it's kind of hard to cry foul.
Yeah. That's true. Chris says it's a licensing thing sometimes. Microsoft does the same when it removes games. If you own the license, you can download it. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
There you have it. There you have it. Yeah.
Well, and this is gonna what's good, because like with what Gerard did, it's actually quite ingenious.
Oh yeah, Gerard the completionist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a stroke of genius, and people are like, "Oh my god, you blew that much money on it." It's like he could make that money back with two YouTube videos.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. That's why I said like some YouTuber that can actually afford it, because I can't afford that. Man, if only I had the freedom to just do that, you know. I mean, hell, that fucking wall behind you is probably worth a couple thousand too, so I don't know.
And I've thought about selling it. I thought about selling some of it at some point, I haven't not all of it, just some things. Like I have raided the eShop for like a few games that I was buying, because there are indie games that'll probably like never be seen again on there. Like one guy made like a game called Captain U, and it's pretty much like a love letter to the Wii U, where he uses his gamepad to get past like Goombas and like and a bunch of other enemies from like various classic games. It's actually kind of neat.
Chris says he has a friend in that owns every single Wii game. This is, to his knowledge, only two people have done as much.
Hey, salute.
Interesting. Wow.
There's actually some of those Wii games that are kind of hard to get their hands on because people have started to like collect the shovelware games now.
Yeah. Well, that's you're talking niche. That's about as niche as it gets, but
yeah. I'm not forking over $85 for a complete copy of Ninja.
No, of course not, because you have a brain. Of course not. We're gonna talk more about this once Verlaine gets on the show, but console players for Overwatch 2 plead for a ban on mouse and keyboard aim assist cheaters. If only people played games with us. Verlaine's always like, keyboard and mouse, like he's always calling it out. So we'll keep this conversation going once they get back, but Jack would be a good one for this one too, because we're all talking about it. It's a big problem. I get it. Although I'm on the other side of things, I'm excited that my console works and plays video games. I'm pretty low key guy, and I don't care about the cheaters. I just play it because it's a game. But you know, that's just me. So, I just wanted to mention that. But we will get back to that when we have more here, so we could talk about that. So.
Yeah, I wonder how you split the difference between like someone's cheating by using mouse and keyboard versus the player being a scrub.
Yeah, well, and then you have the Overwatch on the Switch, which has aim assist.
Oh, with the Joy-Cons. Oh, God.
So there's that, too. You know, so I don't know. We'll get into that a little bit further. A couple of things to mention, though. The former PlayStation 5 exclusive Ghostwire Tokyo is going to join Xbox Game Pass in April. Honestly, it's the best thing that could happen to this game because this game got lost. It got lost, yeah. And I'm going to tell you the reason it got lost is because of its exclusivity on the Sony PlayStation 5. I mean, I don't know. You tell me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm pretty fucking right on with that.
It came out with pretty much like no fanfare. After all the, because I remember following this game because I was excited about it. I'm a big Shinji Mikami fan, the director of the game, who left Tango Gameworks.
Who is it? Yeah. I've never even heard of him. But go ahead, yeah, go ahead.
He's a Resident Evil guy.
That's true.
And it's like with its initial trailer, you're like, all right, he's like dabbling back in the survival horror. And then they made that secondary trailer that looked like what happened if you mix like John Wick with Johnny Mnemonic.
Which if you told me that like on paper, I'm like, let's go. But
it's really weird and probably too Japanese for its own good to like captivate a mainstream audience, because it was a game that I was looking forward to, but I don't have a PlayStation 5, so I figured I'd kind of like wait out a year, gauge some feedback, and the feedback really was kind of, it's all right.
Yeah, it was like whatever. It was like, yeah, the game's okay. But April 12th is when we'll actually get to play the game on the Xbox. Very cool. Very cool. Good. Like I said, that's the best thing to happen to this game. It really is. It's gonna revive the game. It really is. It always does. Anytime they put it out for, I mean, you can call it free, but like in this case, you got to have Game Pass to get it. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna revive it. I'm telling you right now, it's gonna be like one of the best things that's ever happened to it. So
yeah, it's going to be a little bit like Deathloop for people that were kind of like on the fence about it. And Deathloop was kind of, It's an interesting idea, but playing it, I got angry. I got angry.
I did too. And let me tell you, I really wanted to love that game. I really did.
Same.
Like, I was like, oh, like this looks, what a cool concept. Let's go. Like, yeah, first person. Yeah, this will be good. Yeah, man, it fell short. As well as Atomic Heart.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's another one that, like, fell off a cliff.
Yeah, what a trash game that is. I really thought that. I mean, that trailer they showed, it was, like, crazy. All the fucking thing coming at you. And it was, like, it had the feeling of, like, Wolfenstein. Like, the new Wolfenstein. Like,
yeah.
Like, so many enemies and so many guns and so many. And it's just not bad.
And I think you guys said it weeks ago. We were talking about it. That, like, just let Wolfenstein do that. Like if you're going to go for the, like, more methodical Metro Exodus style first person shooter, fine, but don't, like, hype it up to be this one thing and then when you deliver it you kind of get this rather this like sort of weighty, sluggish gunplay.
Right.
There's only a few games that can kind of get away with that, like,
yeah, like Doom.
Yeah. Like Doom, Quake, and maybe Torok if you play the old Torok games.
Yeah, if they ever come back with that, I doubt that. Come on, Rare, what are you doing? Yeah, it's not that rare, I'll tell you that right now. All right, I got a bone to pick, but first, you know what? Let's just go with this right now. So there was a recent interview, okay, on Insomniac Games on their Twitch, okay. And they were interviewing, at least one of their interviewers were interviewing the programmers for the new Spider-Man 2 game. Okay. And I happened to watch it. I watched a little bit of it. I think it's roughly, it's about 90 minutes. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I got the gist of what it was. And it's interesting. And the game sounds cool. And let's go, right? Like, I'm a big Spider-Man fan, so I'll definitely give that a go once it comes out. But the bone I have to pick is with the interviewer. It has nothing to do with the game. And it really pissed me off because, man, if I was sitting there interviewing these guys, I would hear what I fucking heard. And, oh, my God, I'd be like, let's talk about whatever the fuck you just said. So I have the clip isolated, just audio. And I want you to listen to it, and you tell me, like, because, like, what he says is the most interesting thing in the entire video.
Is there anything else that you're proud of at your time here at Insomniac Games? Whether it's a gameplay or a core thing, or just in general, the work you've done.
Mostly the fact that all of our games run in frame. That is always my favorite part of game of shipping. Right, is the part where, like, stop putting stuff in and, like, now I have to squeeze. Now we all do the work to squeeze it into memory and into performance and get it to run smoothly. Also, there's some very cool dialogue technology coming up in the next game.
Oh, cool. Very cool to hear. We talked about things we're proud of. Do you guys ever go and watch, reaction videos from stuff that we've produced? How does that make you guys feel when you watch that stuff?
Oh my God, that makes me crazy as shit, dude. Because you know what he's not doing? Do you know? I mean, I know this has nothing to do with video games, but do you know what he's not doing, Mike?
Telling anyone about listening.
He's not listening. All he's doing is asking questions and moving on to the next one because he's got a list of questions. He's not listening.
He completely dodged that and felt like he read off of a script of something he just wanted to get out.
Listen.
To run smoothly. Also, there's some very cool dialogue technology coming up in the next game.
Oh. Is there anything else that you're...
Listen how he answers it. Like,
hold on. Is there anything else that you're...
Come on.
Is there anything else that you're... You're proud of just time here at Insomniac Games, whether it's a gameplay or a core thing, or just in general.
Also, there's some very cool dialogue technology coming up in the next game.
Oh, cool! Very cool to hear.
Very cool to hear. You mean what you didn't hear? Because you weren't paying attention. Oh my God!
It's one of the most Todd Howard answers I've ever heard.
How do I get a hold of Insomniac and be like, dude, let me fucking interview these people? Like, that's awful. That was terrible. Anyway,
if there's anything out there, not to like prattle alone about this, this is the thing that bugs me about games journalism. They don't hold people's feet to the fire when they answer them questions. Like you get such a milquetoast nothing burger of an answer like that. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, well, I don't want to piss these guys off because I might not get future interviews with Insomniac or Sony. Ask them questions.
No, they would give you more interviews if you listen to them and ask them about what they just fucking said. Like, okay, so let's fast forward to now, okay? Like, this interview went down. That little nugget, that little fucking 3 seconds that they said was, like I said, the most interesting part of the entire interview. And the only thing we got was an article. I can't even remember what it was from, but like it was an article that said pretty much that there are the game teases new dialogue technology. But it doesn't explain because they never fucking asked about it.
Okay, dialogue technology. Can you like explain more of that instead? Very cool.
Very cool to hear.
Are we using like a deep fake or like chat GPT or something? Like, I've talked about like dialogue in games before with like Alpha Protocol, like how you answer questions determine your ability to affect missions. Is it something like that in the game? This is actually why I hate those like production showcases where like the people are talking about with this game we are going to achieve new heights in graphical fidelity and mission interface, and then you play the game and it just feels like shit you've played before.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. There's something that you said earlier that said like, you know, you're trying to get like these interviews, right? You try to be good, but what you miss, Mike, is that the interviewer works for Insomniac. The interviewees also work for Insomniac. So it was their own showcase, and they didn't ask. He didn't follow up with the most interesting thing that was said about in the whole entire interview, and it was just like glazed over, like no big deal, like oh great to hear. In other words, I didn't hear a fucking word you said. I'm just looking at my list of what I'm going to ask next.
Oh,
and you know what? That makes me not want to fucking watch that guy, because that right there could have been so important. What is this new technology dialogue? What do we have other options? Do we have a way to see I don't fucking know because he didn't fucking ask.
That's incredibly dishonest. That's a very dishonest way to like present something. And it's getting more into that sort of like hype window of like, we're going to cloak this in mystery.
The thing is after he said that, any rational human being that was with would then follow up and say, okay, well, let's talk about that. And if you listen, the guys being interviewed were kind of waiting for it.
Is there anything else that you're proud of at your time here at Sony?
Why can't I fast forward to this?
Is there anything else that you're?
I guess I can't fast forward through things anymore. Whatever. Anyway, I'm not gonna play it over and over again. But like, yeah, it was just like there was a set, and he's like, "Oh, great, that's great to hear." Oh, what do you think about reaction videos? Fuck reaction videos. If I was that, if I would be like reaction videos, I just dropped you a fucking bomb. All right, reaction. Yeah. Oh yeah, we love reaction videos. Like what? What the fuck? Whatever. I quit. I
don't quit. Handing itself.
I just don't get it, man. Like guys like that have a job like that, and I don't. Like, come on. Anyway, that's fine. Do whatever you want. I don't care. So, yeah, new dialogue technology, whatever the fuck that means.
Blast processing. Just call it blast processing.
Blast processing.
It's like and dialogue technology. Dude,
it sounded damn good at the time, did it not? Blast.
Oh, yeah. It sounded like badass.
No one cared. It just sounded good. Let's go.
And no one's mentioned anything kind of like that since. So
yeah. Genesis does what Nintendo don't. Come on.
Yeah.
There's really, really nothing better than that. All right. Let's move on because I'm upset. So we're going to go to the next thing. How much would you spend for a gun skin in a game? Like, what's the highest number that you think that you would spend on this badass skin?
I'd probably pay upward for like $1.30. My nephew's actually showed me stuff in game. $14. I've seen prices for $14 for gun skins.
Okay. What about this gun? Would you be interested in this gun? It's got flowers all over it. Almost like I don't even know what's happening in it. I don't know.
Eating festive.
Festive, whatever, right? How much would you pay for that?
$7.
Okay, do I hear eight? No. Apparently, this skin is selling for $160,000. Pretty much more than the gun itself in real life.
Right? Like, but what's the catch? Isn't there
like people, like, what's the...
Is it just bragging rights at this point with, like, is... Because I've actually seen, like, rich douchebag-style clothes where people pay, like, $1,000 for, like, a pair of pants just to show off. And I guess with gaming, it's flexing. Is it?
Yes.
I get it. I'm old and I'm uncool.
But here's the thing: you get the skin, and you can't even see it.
Yeah,
first person game. You only see like the top of the gun. That's it. You're like, you don't see the side of it.
So I've never understood. Like, okay, at least in Fortnite, like it's a third person action game, and you can kind of like see the outfit. At least in Overwatch, there's victory screen, so you see the characters in their gear. I can understand that, but in like a high fidelity game like this, and like there's like a colorful gun skin, who's noticing that? How would you notice that?
Look how beautiful.
If only. Okay. All right. I guess I'm just this out of touch, but
like, yeah, you think?
Like, at least give me the golden gun from GoldenEye, where I can like shoot things in one shot and just take everyone out. Like, come on, Counter-Strike.
Yes.
I feel like some of these things are like looking for like a bigger heist to like swindle gamers than like Star Citizen. Yeah. At this point. Oh, what? Just what even? Like, are the proceeds going to anything? I'm actually trying. I was trying to look it up here to see if like, no. Are any of the proceeds going to anything? Like,
yeah, it goes to some guy's wallet. That's where it goes.
Yay!
Yeah, cool. Fuck people that sell shit like that. Get out of here, man.
And, like, whoever buys it needs to have like a cement block dropped on their toes.
Ouch. Yeah.
Jeez. Ouch.
Oh man. So apparently somebody came up with a mod. Can you just download it? How do you have it? Okay, I have to look this up later. Anyway. All right, anyway. NBA Jam. The NBA Jam that came out in 2010. Okay, so it was a PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 version, if you remember. Oh, yeah. Which was pretty good, you know. It had Kitsro as the voiceover still with the, you know, boom shakalaka and all that. But somebody came up with a mod that updated the game completely. So you're playing as LeBron James. You're playing as, you know, you name it. It's pretty cool. And you, like I said, you can actually download it yourself. I'm gonna put a link right here on the stream so you guys can see it for yourself. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool. If you know, if you're into some basketball, it's not much to talk about, but yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I think I dig that idea. Feel like that, like NFL Blitz aged better than NBA Jam, but I feel like NBA Jam should just be this thing that should be brought back every year. Just as like a free to play thing that
I couldn't agree more. I think that's a great call. Make it a free to play, but then you just update the roster every year, and it's just fun. That's all.
Yeah, like mix and match
tournaments going. Let's get the tournaments going again, man. Like, Remember back in the day, NBA Jam tournaments, like on the fucking arcade. Oh, dude.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, amazing.
We had a bunch of those at like Aladdin's Castle, like in like Midway Mall. There would be a line of kids and teenagers just like playing NBA Jam, and they gave us like some good cash prizes. It'd be like either cash prizes or like tokens. And I remember trying to compete, but like, man, people were killers in that game.
Yeah,
I think that one. I think it was like midway through the life of the Saturn and the PlayStation. They tried making NBA Jam Extreme, where it was like fully 3D. It just wasn't the same.
No. You gotta like push it. You gotta push the limit a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't quite hit.
Yeah, it didn't stick. Like the NHL also tried their game with like, I think it was like called Open Ice. Okay. It was kind of fun, but there's something about Jam that was easier to come back to.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Real quick, I have a list of the 2023 World Video Game Hall of Fame finalists. You want me to list them real quick? You ready for this?
Bring it on.
All right. Wii Sports, GoldenEye 007, Age of Empires, Angry Birds, Barbie Fashion Designer, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Computer Space, FIFA International Soccer. So I'm guessing the first one, right?
Probably.
Sure. Or just in general. I think it's just FIFA in general. The Last of Us, NBA 2K, Quake, and Wizardry. Anything that pops out that you think is going to make it? I think 007's in. I think there's still time for Wii Sports.
Yeah. Wii Sports, probably a given. Maybe not yet. I don't know if it's not considered old enough yet.
Yeah.
But considering that game single-handedly sold Wii consoles.
True. It was a great game. Man, it was such a good game.
Yeah. Like that's one of those ones that I think they brought it back for the Switch, but it's different. Yeah. It's like kind of altered. GoldenEye... It's probably not a controversial take to say that GoldenEye is not as good as I think people think that it was, but at the same time, it was an influential game.
Yeah.
Because in the pre dual analog stick era, playing first person shooters on console was hard, and that's the first game that really tried to configure how this would work. Holding a controller as opposed to mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
I'd say it's definitely a case. Angry Birds, not.
I think Angry Birds is in as well.
Yeah, like that. That one's an easy given. Unlike the rest of the community, I don't hate mobile gaming as much as everybody else does. Because like this idea that they're not real games, they are.
Yeah. So I just posted the link that you can actually go and vote. So you can go and vote on these games, which one that you think is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, I've actually been to the Video Game Hall of Fame. If you haven't, I highly suggest anyone to go. It is in Rochester, New York. It is called the Strong National Museum of Play. It also has like the board game Hall of Fame. It has the toy Hall of Fame, the video game Hall of Fame there. Amazing. They are not paying me to say this. I've only been there one time and I cannot wait to go again. Nice. Yeah, they have an entire like giant room full of free to play arcade games. I'm telling you, if you get a chance to ever go there, I cannot implore you anymore. Like, it is amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've always tried to plan a trip to New York, and that was always one of my one of the spots I'd love to hit up.
Rochester's not really someone like, oh yeah, I've always planned to go to Rochester. Like, no one really says that. But if you're like driving through, I highly suggest you stop and check it out. Yes, 100%. Yeah, and then later go get some dinosaur barbecue. So if you're into such stuff like that,
plug.
See, I know, like I'm not getting paid for any of that, but I'm telling you, it's so much fun. You're gonna love it. You are.
Anyways.
Destiny actor Lance Riddick did pass away. I wanted to at least say it. Rest in peace, Lance. There have been so many good things with him. The Wire, if you watched it, he's in John Wick. And of course, all the Horizon Zero Dawn and Forbidden West. So that game is going to be changed moving forward, because without his voice in it, it's a huge, huge loss. Now, another reason why I bring it up, apparently, it was said in his wife said that he was playing Destiny 2 the night before he passed. You know, he's in Destiny 2 as well. Right. So pretty cool. You know, he loves his own stuff. It's hard not to love that. So, yeah, rest in peace, Lance. You will definitely be missed. Man, that was like one of those guys I've always wanted to interview, too. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Like he's kind of that like new breed of celebrity that just is down with gaming. Like he and Vin Diesel, like guys like that. Like, I think that's like rad. It's like one of the closest things that will make like a star feel like one of us.
Yes. Yeah. And well, I guess what people are doing, if you're in Destiny, they're like his character that he voices or whatever is in one of the you know, just as an NPC, you know, kind of standing around, you know, and people are going up to it and like kneeling and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Good homage to it. I do enjoy that, but. Yeah, man, what a loss. That's a huge loss.
Yeah. He was also the best part of the Netflix Resident Evil series. He played Wesker.
Oh, did he play Wesker? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Well, now I kind of want to watch it. I didn't realize he was even in that.
Yeah, he's the best part of it. Like, okay. It starts off kind of weird, but he's really into the performance. And sure.
He was a great actor, man. He was so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was he was also in Quantum Break.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, if you have never played Quantum Break, I highly
love Quantum Break.
Great game.
Why couldn't that have been like a series? Like,
no, I know. It pretty much is. Like if you play the game, it's like it's like half a game and half
half TV show.
Yeah, so it's actually cool. But it's actually a game, so you're actually playing it. There's some difficult parts, definitely. It's not like a Telltale game or anything like that. But yeah, Quantum Break, that's a great one. Oh man, there's so many good ones. So many good ones. So all right, let's get these people out of here. Real quick, there was a report early in the week that said that Willow the series is canceled. It's not getting a second season, blah blah blah. I haven't watched any of it. I don't know if you've watched any of it at all. I mean, I like the movie, you know, when I was 10.
Yeah.
But they're saying it's more of a pause than a goodbye. It has volume 2 plans, so it could happen. I don't know why that would need to be said or why it's on pause. But yeah, so rest assured, people that love the show, there could be a volume 2.
Yeah, pause is auspicious. I mean, I saw 2 episodes of it because it's good to see Warwick Davis again. Like,
yeah, I know, right? Like that. Well, that's the reason you watch it. Yeah, you know, because obviously, what's his name is not in it.
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer is not in it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Like it seemed all right. A little goofy, but
he studied at Hogwarts, right?
Yeah.
Right. Makes sense to me.
Well played.
That's what I was always thought. Well, after Harry Potter came out, I was like,
"That,
yeah, I got you." The Last of Us, as we put it on the last episode, that we were kind of disappointed because there wasn't a lot of like actual zombies. Actual, you know, infected. There wasn't a lot of infected, which there was a shitload in the video game, but not in the show. They are saying they promise a lot more infected in the next season. Fine.
Whatever. Better hope so.
There's so many people upset because I gotta cancel HBO Max because they're not gonna make another series until 2025. This is the worst thing ever. I'm gonna have to wait that long for this. No, like here, okay, I'm gonna tell you right now that I'm going to solve all your problems. Okay, if you are waiting for season two to come out, and you hate it. Oh, it's the worst. I can't believe we have to wait that long. Then buy the fucking game and play it. Because let me tell you, the first game, the first season, it was damn close to the video game. So I'm going to guess that season two will be damn close to the show. So if you really, 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 really want the storyline so fucking bad, then go play the game. There. Solved.
I'm not gonna miss much. You see those people that are like pissed off when they were like putting side by side comparisons and getting angry that the show didn't get it right. Like they nailed it.
Wait, who said that?
Yeah. There'd be like a series. It'd be like side by side scenes, like preferably one when like Ellie killed the guy that was like attacking Joel. Sure. And like she shot him, and they were like, "Oh, Bella Ramsey didn't put enough emotion in it." She nailed it.
No one's ever happy, man. No one's ever happy. Whatever. I thought it was great. I thought it was, yeah, right on. Whatever. I'm not going to worry about that. Did you watch The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, real quick, we'll do a little Mandalorian here. That was about the most boring episode ever. The first 10 minutes, though, fucking great. Awesome. Very action-packed. But then after that, it was like, why do we care about this guy? And why do we, but then it turns out it's not the guy we care about. It's the girl that we care about, because who the hell is this? And yeah,
weird bait and switch. And it's like, they're putting a lot of this emphasis on these people. And it took me a while to realize who the hell they were. And I believe they were back in season one. I think that was the scientist that was doing an experiment on Grogu.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much when they picked him up. Right.
Yeah. So the only thing that I really liked about this episode is that it was an interesting take to see what happens to the like henchmen of like federations when they're torn down, of like how are like the Alakis reestablished in the society. Do they go to prison? Is there like programs that they're into? And it turns out they give them a desk job until I guess they blow their brains out.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, this sucks, man. What a terrible life that is.
It's like they bring him in. It's like, okay, this guy's your new villain.
They didn't know they were bad. They didn't know.
Right. So I'm waiting for the turn of somebody to like approach him at his hotel room and like go, all right, it's time to initiate protocol. And it doesn't happen for like 38 minutes. And it just kind of drags. Like the performances were good and everything, but it was a slog.
I think the Mandalorian. I think it's losing the fastball.
Yeah,
it's trying to get this other story to come into play. I don't care.
And that's like is this stuff from Andor? Because I've only watched a little bit of Andor. So
I watched four episodes of Andor. None of that tells me that's Andor. But I mean, I could be wrong. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because like it felt like disconnected from the Mandalorian. And then at the end of the episode, like Mando and Bo go back to the island of disillusioned former Mandalorians, and he's okay. He's accepted into the cult. So I guess that arc's over with.
I mean, yeah, the good part at the end is they are, again, Mandalorians. This is the way. Bo-Katan, she's now a Mandalorian, too, if she wants to be. She has no place to live. Yeah, she doesn't have a fucking home, so what the hell? Let's go.
Well, I guess, you know, lead them with the Starsaber. And I guess they're just going to kind of like make the Mandalorians new, this at least this version of Jedi, or like an offshoot of Jedi, which could be interesting. But if there's anything that I would like to see more unique Mandalorian technology, because they all just sort of like use the same blasters. I was expecting like maybe they'd have like a unique forge. That like they could like make weapons that would like put them like as a higher class of warrior, so that they can rise from being this destitute class or race or something. Yeah. Will it do that? I don't know. I don't really know how many stories.
This is what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for them to make a helmet for Grogu and he becomes a
That is so like hotcakes for Christmas.
No, it wouldn't sell, because you know why? They'd be covering up his face. And here's the deal. You can only cover up Pedro Pascal's face and still be cool with it because Pedro Pascal is fucking awesome. Why would you cover up Grogu?
Or give him like a Judge Dredd style visor so he can still see his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, just like it right here. Yeah. And I mean, now he's only going cuckoo gaga, you know, so at least he's actually making sounds.
Talking?
He's going to talk by the end of the show for sure. Yeah. That's obviously what we're coming to, but yeah, he'll say like, oh. Mandalorian I like or something like that, something stupid. If he talks like that, I'll be like, why does he talk like that? Like, why?
Mando Jedi fans, you will. You will.
It's fine, whatever. All right, well, let's just leave it there. Plenty more. There's so much that I don't know about Star Wars, and that's why I need Jack or Verlaine here, because they know so much more than actually us.
Yeah, my Star Wars info is so out of date.
Yeah, yeah, mine too. So I was like, we'll just talk about the episode, but I'm not talking about lore because I know nothing. So yeah, but there we go. So all right, well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. It's just you and I today. Thank you to everyone that stuck around and watched it. We do appreciate that. Check out the links that I posted. You guys can see the new NBA Live video game. You can also vote on the Video Game Hall of Fame inductees. Well, or nominees, not inductees, not yet. Nominees. You can't vote on inductees. You vote on nominees. Yeah, I got it. So yeah, go do that. That's about it. Mike, anything else that you want to say?
I think I'm all out.
All out? All right, cool. Again, thank you so much. Check out the website. All the information you need about us is there. GameFixShow.com. Please download the episode. If you did, thank you so much. If you're listening in your car, you are awesome. We really do appreciate it. I mean, you're awesome if you watch live too. Don't worry, I think you're awesome too. But yeah, but just the downloads help us more. That's all I'm saying. And all I have to say is, it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh shit! Here we go again.
Soup.
We are meat popsicles,
and I love you.
Adios, turd nuggets.
Well, hey, podcast listener. My name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.